Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We are halfway through our Wednesday night / Thursday morning show. And if you want to, you can even now watch the Heat and Celtics as they tip off in game number 5. It's replayed on TV. I would advise you to skip the first half. Just skip the first half. It might have said Dr. James Naismith rolling in his grave. I mean, he had peach baskets, but I don't think either one of those teams could have hit the peach basket either in the first half. It was rough. However, it was not a blowout, which is what I wanted, which is what I was ranting about a couple nights ago. So I guess in that respect, be careful what you wish for. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I do appreciate all of your tweets, all of your Facebook messages. Starting to see some of you veterans who are showing up and letting us know that you're listening, and as we've done in the past, and I plan to do the same thing again, we will definitely dedicate our Sunday night show into Monday Memorial Day to those of you who want to share photos and the names of either loved ones that you lost in the line of duty or loved ones that served who have since left us. And so it's a weekend that we look at as the unofficial start to summer. And I know people get excited about road trips, and in many cases you're talking college kids are out of school, and it's supposed to be fun, right? Because it's all the potential of what the summer can be. And yet it's a very sober occasion. So when I was talking to our U.S. Army combat vet, Ben Peterson, who joined us on our last show, even though I had a specific reason that I wanted to talk to him about this event that he and his organization are hosting at Daytona, the Heroes Honor Festival, I started out by asking him, what does Memorial Day mean to you? I don't know that it offends people when we get it wrong. Veterans Day, Memorial Day, not the same thing. However, I hope that there is at least some thought given while you're having a barbecue or a cookout or enjoying a road trip, because those things are fun too. I don't begrudge you those things, but there's a reason why we have that day. And I hope we do use it to remember and to memorialize. We certainly will on this show, something that we started to do a few years ago, and I plan to continue it. So I'll be here Sunday night into Monday on the holiday weekend, and we'll be glad if you join us. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. So a couple of goofy things this segment, just to make you smile on this. Is it now a Thursday morning for most people? Yeah. So all but Hawaii is officially into Thursday, May 26th. How did we get to May 26th? It's a blur. It's a springtime. It's been a blur. I can't even believe it's been almost 3 weeks since I went on vacation. It might be time for another vacation very soon. But a few goofy things that I hope will make you smile or maybe even laugh out loud this next few minutes, this first segment of the show, or of this hour of the show. And then we'll be more serious again when we get toward the bottom of the hour. Okay, I have a story that I'll save this for for the last thing. But I have a story that I hope I can share adequately, because on Wednesday morning when I got home from work, my two pets had a moment, and it was so funny that I burst out laughing. I had not laughed in a couple of days, just everything going on. And it was so ridiculous that I started laughing and I couldn't stop. I think part of it was that I was so tired, but it was such an organic moment. I wish I had it on video so I could show you. I already tried to describe it to producer James. I don't even think I did a really good job of it, but sometimes animals are nuts, right? And they just do dumb stuff, kind of like humans. And so I'll share the story about Penny and Sugar and how they had a moment. So that's one thing. Also, Mike Tyson, how long has it been now? A couple months? Maybe it's not even been that long. A month since he and a passenger on a plane got into an altercation and he punched him. Is there any more of this, by the way? Is this all we could find? Tell me. Let's go, producer James. Fess up. I don't hear you. I don't hear you at all. Oh, someone's mic is not turned on.
Go.
Go.
Yeah, there's a little more, but to even censor the little part that we did censor is like a big job. I mean, I can try to get a little more. There's a little bit more,
yes,
but he's got quite the the mouth on him.
He does, but the point
it's honestly like not even words. It's just like profanity.
Yeah, it's fine though. When all you're doing is censoring it, it's actually even funnier that way. You know that's perfect Hall of Flame material, right? So it better be preserved for the next Hall of Flame induction. My favorite Hall of Fame inductee of all time is still Brian Price. If you can find it, we'll play it. His profanity-laced tirade when he lost his marbles on the media going back, say, 7 years ago. He's obviously no longer the manager of the Reds. He went ballistic, and you could only understand every 15th word because everything else had to be bleeped out. It was the funniest thing. Probably one of the funniest baseball rants I've ever heard. It was so terrific and will make you laugh. Anyway, if we do have a Mike Tyson where it's all bleeped out, that would be okay with me. By the way, he's a gray beard now. Did you know that? Do you know Mike Tyson is a gray beard? That's weird. Like super weird. Anyway, he opens up about punching an airplane passenger. We'll let you hear that coming up in mere moments. But in honor of what's coming up next week, June 1st, what? How is June 1st next week? I can't be the only one who thinks that's nutso. But yes, a week from Wednesday, June 1st, you get the next rendition of The Match. Do you think most people have any idea what I'm talking about? Some people probably do. But I bet there's a fair number of people right now who heard me say that who have no clue what I'm referring to. It's a different version of The Match. Golf Match. Because Tiger Woods can't afford to be walking around a course just for fun. And Phil Mickelson is still in self-imposed exile. So neither one of those two will be part of this year's match. But you know who's carrying on the tradition? Excuse me. Trying to talk too fast. Not trying, but talking too fast. Tom Brady, who's a staple. This is now his match. And Aaron Rodgers. Am I the only one who thinks this is actually a mismatch?
I love Aaron Rodgers.
I know you do. But I feel like they're stacking the deck, not loading the deck. Are you guys in there listening to Mike Tyson? Is that why you're laughing? What are you doing in there?
No, he was just laughing at the Tom Brady. I don't think he's ever heard that one, drop that we have there.
I love Aaron Rodgers. I thought you were in there like previewing the Mike Tyson, and that's why you're giggling like little kids. Oh, okay. So Tom Brady is now the holdover. Aaron Rodgers is on his team. Come on, there can be no way that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes beat them, right? There's no way.
I would. My initial instinct is no, there's no chance. I mean, those two salty vets against Mahomes and Rodgers and Allen, I just don't think they're ready for that level of...
I mean, Rodgers, he plays in pro-ams and stuff.
Right.
And Brady, he's always talking about golf. He's always out there on a golf course if he's not riding his bike on the West Side Highway in Lower Manhattan. All right, so they did this kind of funny video where they were, all right, let me set it up for you so you can understand. Unless you want to find, if you can find a snapshot or a photo to put up on our show Twitter, that'd be funny. But here's how I'll set it up for you. They had their top wide receiver, a cutout of their top wide receiver, each of them. And in place of their hands, there was a net. So there's a hole in the cutout and then a net on the back. And the whole goal is that you having to chip the golf balls into the receiver's hands slash into the back of the net. Well, the trash talking began, and Tom Brady, do you think he rehearsed this ahead of time, or this was just purely organic? So Tom Brady is looking at his cutout, who is Mike Evans, so his top wide receiver, Mike Evans. Sorry, Gronk. And then he is making fun of the other quarterbacks who've all lost receivers. Well, two of them have. It's really funny, and I wonder if he came up with this all by himself.
They'll give us a little bit of a run for our money, but these young guys are coming out firing, so y'all better bring y'all's A game.
I got my boy Mike there ready to catch. I don't even know who caught Aaron. Devontae left him, and Tyreek left you, Patrick. Josh, don't worry, someone's going to leave you too.
I love you.
My boy Mike never left me, I'll tell you that. But anyway, we're on the same team, Aaron. Josh and Patrick aren't going to get any, so you ready?
Do you think that he did that all just off the cuff? Is Brady that funny?
I think that was probably a scripted one, I'd have to say. That
scripted
was too good.
Or something he thought about ahead of time?
Not scripted. I don't think they set up that scenario just for that line, but I think that that's definitely, he went in there knowing he was going to rip them for that with that joke.
Okay, cool. That's probably true. All right, that's on YouTube. We grabbed it from Bleacher Report, but they did this event where they were all holding microphones. That's the funny part. Well, Tom Brady had his somewhere pinned on him as he's doing the chipping contest. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen and they're lapel mics, and Patrick Mahomes are all holding theirs. That's not how it works. So somebody's going to have to figure out or instruct them how you golf with these mics attached to you. But clearly, the trash talking is already in fuego. Aaron Rodgers, he's glad he's partnered with Brady.
Why are they even in this? Isn't this supposed to be competitive?
It happens. It'll be the one. We'll give him one.
Could not knock it in, you know. You got to save some shots for the match, June 1st, baby.
So you hear Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes essentially got torched in this chipping contest. So Brady and Rodgers, if I remember, I watched it because I'm a dork. I watched the video. 7 chip shots into the nets or the hands of their receivers. And then the other guys, I think, only had one. I don't remember if it was Pat or if it was Josh. So that was kind of cute. I don't know if you're planning on watching the match on TNT. It's next Wednesday, so it is actually before the NBA Finals tips off. There may be hockey. I may have a dinner reservation. Who knows? It's after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Okay. That was, I hope, a goofy enough or maybe interesting enough for you to want to continue listening to the show. Mike Tyson is now speaking out for the first time since he was in this altercation with a fired up passenger on a commercial JetBlue flight. This goes back to April. Now, according to the authorities and the reports that we've seen, Tyson actually wasn't the guy who started it, and so he wasn't getting in trouble for this, but did punch him. There's video out there, right? I feel like I've seen the video, yeah. So anyway, he goes on his podcast to share his side of the story for the first time. The podcast is called Hot Boxin'. I don't know why that makes me laugh. Hot Boxin' with Mike Tyson. And he says on this podcast that the passenger he punched was screwing with him, but he doesn't use screwing. And it apparently was a guy who was drunk, who'd been kind of messing with him and wouldn't leave him alone and actually threw a water bottle at him. And so Mike Tyson had to defend himself, you know.
I shouldn't even be taking public planes. My wife gets mad that I take public planes. Well, what am I going to do a plane with my friend? What, I guess it's... What, he's supposed to watch me, a bodyguard, and a... Yes, and what am I doing on a plane? It triggers me.
Wait, do you know when he calls it public planes? I think public bathrooms. Public planes? I've never heard it called that before. We are the plebes. Public planes? What, We're the Minions. We use public planes, like public bathrooms at the train station. Ew, or the mall. That's I do not like that term, public planes. So are you going to give me any more, Mike Tyson, or no? James is like, no. He's giving me this throat slash, like, stop.
I just need a sec to get him. It's a lot of.
All right. We will come back to it. My pet story is not nearly as fun or hip as Mike Tyson, but I hope that you'll enjoy it. So just to set the scene, my cat is, she gets spooked by everything. Sugar is 14 years old. She still acts like she's 2 and gets spooked by everything. Penny, meanwhile, is old and slow and is 12 and a half and really doesn't move quickly, regardless of what's happening. So on Wednesday morning, the two of them were trying to go through the same doorway at the same time. Now, you have, I'm sure, been in a situation where you and another human are walking toward each other and you have to create space for the other person to pass. And instead of each of you going to the right or each of you going to the left, one of you goes to the left and one of you goes to the right, and you end up either face to face or bumping into each other. And it's this awkward moment, right? So here are my dog and my cat trying to fit through the same doorway at the same time. This is like some Laurel and Hardy skit. They're trying to fit through the same door at the same time. My cat then decides she's going to take a shortcut and go under the dog's legs. Okay, so cat's realizing that Penny's taking up the space in the doorway. She decides to go under Penny's legs. Penny does not like that, so she tries to move just because she's not a big fan of the cat being underneath her body, as you can imagine. So as she moves, Sugar freaks out, right? So it's your fault, Sugar. You're underneath the dog trying to weave in and out of the dog's 70 pounds. The cat is 12, maybe. But Sugar is trying to weave under her legs. Penny gets a little skittish and moves. And when she does, the cat goes, like, not a kind of a combination of a howl and a hiss. She gets upset and warns Penny, right? That warns her what? That she should stop moving? I don't know. You're the one that got under there. So when she hears that, Penny tries to move. The problem is Penny's a clodhopper and she doesn't move quickly. And so she attempts to move the same way that Sugar moves. So again, back to the awkward moment with the humans. Sugar and Penny move the same direction at the same time. And as Penny is, again, bull in a china shop, picks up a foot, Sugar moves right underneath it, and Penny steps down and flattens the cat. I've never laughed so hard in my life. The cat got flattened. Like that whole thing about how cats always land on their feet.
Except when a dog lands on
them. Oh my God. But poor Penny, she didn't know what to do because the cat lets out and goes, row! And so Penny's like trying to get away, but she moves the same small space that Sugar moves into. And so Penny's just trying to step away from this obnoxious cat, but she's just not athletic anymore. She can't really sidestep her, and so she takes one step and smash right down on the cat. Sugar, well, my stomach hurts. Sugar was so dazed, she didn't even make a noise. She just got up while she was flat on the ground. She got up and she ran as fast as she could. We didn't see her the rest of the morning.
Got the hell out of there real quick.
I mean,
traumatizing.
It's your fault, you dumb cat. What were you doing walking underneath the dog? I mean, Penny was so confused. She did not understand what was going on. And she was just trying to get away from this obnoxious cat. But you know what I'm talking about, though, right? Like, let's just say you and I are going through the same doorway and we go the same direction.
Right?
And it's awkward. And there's probably going to be a collision of some sort and then some ridiculous apology. Well, Penny was just trying to get away and the cat went the wrong direction. And like I said, Penny's just she's a clodhopper. She's not graceful anymore. So she just picks up a foot and bam. I mean, I've never seen Sugar run so fast in my life. Once she got up again.
Right. I was going to say, she can get up again. But she had feeling in her
gosh.
Body.
I don't know, but I don't care. It's your fault. It was just so funny because Penny has no ill will. She was just trying to get away from this animal, get away from this feline. Normally, they get along just fine, but Sugar's a little temperamental. She just... I mean, we've got an entire house, and somehow there's a collision in a doorway.
So it definitely wasn't an attack by any means.
No, Penny doesn't have an attacking bone in her body. She is sweet. Sugar is the pain in the ass. So I really, that's why I laughed, as opposed to being like, oh, if it was Penny who had fallen, I would have been very concerned. Mostly because Penny has a hard time getting up now. But, I mean, Sugar, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, you'll be all right.
I mean, it's your fault. How about don't walk underneath a 70-pound dog and then see...
And then make a noise to startle her.
Yeah, I know. Penny was so... She was like, just trying to get away. Just get me away from this feline. And then, boom, smash. Right on the... Not in 100 years could they ever do that again. It would never happen again.
I really wish we had a video.
I know. Me too. Me too. I'm telling you, it was hysterical. Anyway, it made me laugh like I hadn't laughed in a couple of days. Thanks for listening. I'm sure Mike Tyson was more entertaining. No. He definitely was not. It's After Hours.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Pitch to Harold is a breaking ball launched deep left field. No doubt about this one. Back to the Louisiana hot sauce left field ledge. Harold Ramirez says he's been working on trying to get the ball in the air. That ball was crushed, and it's 5-0 Rays.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence
on Rays Radio. Tampa Bay comes up with a win on Wednesday, but what I was most interested in, I caught my eye and my ear, the reflections, the reaction of Rays pitcher Brooks Raley, who not only hails from Uvalde, Texas, but actually attended Robb Elementary School, where the shooting took place on Tuesday. It's a small community, about 16,000 people. And we said last night it's west of San Antonio. That's his hometown. He's from Uvalde. I wouldn't have expected that. Of course, this hit him really hard. How could it not? He went to that same little school.
Heard something and didn't really follow up because we were about 40 minutes before the game and didn't really kind of deep dive into any real information. And got to talk to my parents yesterday, who obviously live there too. It's just a tragedy. Obviously growing up there, going to that school, it kind of hits home. Having young children myself, and you know, you just feel for those families. Like I said, I walked those halls, so can't imagine what they experienced yesterday. And you know, feeling for that community. It's small, you know, close knit community.
Rayleigh is 33 years old, and they say he attended school in that same building where the shooting occurred. So to hear his reflections, and also to know that it's not as though he left there and never goes back or has no connection there, but he's still got parents and a brother who are there in Uvalde.
It's a pretty small town, so news travels fast, and my family's still there. My brother's, or my brother lives there, and his wife and his daughter, and so, like I said, it's close.
He was a two-sport star at Uvalde High School. Left and went off to college at Texas A&M and lives in College Station with his wife and three daughters. But his parents and his brother are still there in this small community. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. There's a lot of sports figures, coaches, athletes, administrators, owners who are offering support and encouragement. No doubt there will be many who also offer financial assistance. As you can imagine, there are dozens of GoFundMe pages now in the wake of this tragedy in Uvalde. But I wanted to read the names, the ages of the kiddos and the two teachers. So there were 19 children and two teachers. And I think it's important. They, at this point, are still working through the identifications, and they're taking longer because of the nature of the shooting. As it turns out, at Robb Elementary School, they were just 2 days before the end of their school year. So you can imagine they were really excited about getting out for the summer. They were all fourth graders, along with their two teachers, and they were all in one classroom. Blows me away. These are not in any particular order. I found their list and their photos on the Houston Chronicle website. So I appreciate them putting together a photo array. And these photos are being provided by the families, which is pretty amazing. And then the quotes and mini tributes from the family members as well, just kind of give an indication of what their sweet babies were like. Uzziah Garcia, 9 years old. And he loved to throw the football with his grandfather. Xavier Javier Lopez, 10 years old. And this is the one that got me on Wednesday morning when I was driving home. He loved to dance with his brothers and his mom. Jose Flores, 10 years old. Loved school. Also loved to play baseball. Miranda Mathis, 11 years old. Also part of that fourth grade classroom. Ellie Garcia. The photo that I've seen of her, she's holding a basketball. She loved to play basketball with her local youth sports association. Tess Marie Mata, 10 years old. What a sweet smile. Her sister is the one who is sharing her photo on Twitter. Eliahana Elijah Cruz Torres. This is the little girl who, the photo I saw, she was in her Little League uniform. And I remember being that age, proudly wearing my Little League uniform. Her grandfather, Elijah's grandfather, told the reporters that she had a lot of energy. Annabelle Guadalupe Rodriguez, also 10 years old. Nevaeh Bravo, 10 years old. McKenna Elrod, 10 years old. Mate Juliana Rodriguez, 10. Alethea Ramirez, 10. JC Carmelo Luevanos, also 10. Jayla Nicole Salguero, 11. Rahelio Torres, 10. His family described him as intelligent, hardworking. Actually, I think this is a little girl. Oh, no, it's a little boy. I'm looking at the wrong photo, sorry. He was intelligent, hardworking, and helpful. Alexandria Lexi Anaya Rubio, 10 years old. Emery Jo Garza, 10 years old. She was a jokester, according to her dad. And her favorite parts of school were lunch and recess. We can definitely identify with that. Jackie Cazares, 10 years old. And Layla Salazar, also 10 years old. All fourth graders who were in the same classroom, looking forward to the end of their school year. And there were two adults there. 49-year-old Irma Garcia, who was a mama to four kids of her own. A fourth grade teacher at Robb Elementary. And the other adult, a 44-year-old, Eva Morales. And her daughter was posting on Facebook about her mom as a hero and about their dogs. And that her mama used to talk to their dogs in a silly voice that woke up the whole house every morning. So I'd encourage you to look at the photos, the sweet photos of the kiddos and of their teachers. Just to remember them, think about them, their families. There are certainly ways to contribute financially if that's something you want to do. It's hard for me to do this, but it also makes me smile a little bit to look at their photos and to know how much they were loved. Of course, how much they're missed, but it's important to remember their names and I think to put faces to the tragedy. That way we don't forget. We don't become numb to it. I don't become numb to it. I don't know how I ever could, but in the case that I ever would, this certainly runs in opposition to that. There are also one more man that I wish I had a name that I could share with you, but I do not. I've heard the story now, though, and so I want to tell it really quickly. Maybe at some point we'll get his name. I could understand if the Border Patrol agent who responded to the scene with a desperate call from local law enforcement, they put out a call on the radio and asked for any other law enforcement who were in the area to show up because they needed help. At this point, it was still an active shooter situation inside Robb Elementary School. And according to the reports that I've heard on the news, roughly 80 Border Patrol agents showed up. Some of them duty, some of them off duty, but 80 of them rushed to the scene. And one man was part of an elite unit that's been described as the SWAT unit of Border Patrol. And a man, administrator with Border Patrol that I heard talk about this unit, he said that they are more trained and more skilled than any other segment of Border Patrol. They're the ones that are called in when there's incidents along the border, specifically gun incidents or shootings or anything like that. And they've got their own snipers. And one of the members of this SWAT team of Border Patrol, that's not their name, but this elite unit, he was off duty. He shows up, and through a window, he's the one that took out the 18-year-old who was still barricaded inside the school with his weapons. And so thank you, sir, for responding to a tragedy when you were off and didn't have to, and for being the one who would end it and prevent any more deaths, any more lives being lost. Again, I don't know his name. We've looked for it. I haven't heard it anywhere. I'm sure if I'm in his shoes, I don't want my name to get out. But as you can imagine, there are a lot of people who'd like to thank him. And he certainly is a hero, regardless of whether or not we ever know his name. And all of those who responded, you've seen the video, the photos, you know that there were dozens and dozens and dozens of officers and agents and law enforcement on scene, first responders. So we appreciate them too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The After Hours Podcast.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
He's got a man wide open. John Brown, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Buffalo! John Brown from Josh Allen.
Lamar Jackson in the shotgun. Lobs to the 5. It is caught. Touchdown, Willie Snead.
Play fake by Russ.
Throws deep. Man wide open. It's Lockett. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Tannehill rolling, throwing.
Touchdown, Titans.
Burrow back to pass. Throws into the end zone.
Yeah.
It's intended for Tyler Boyd.
Touchdown.
Touchdown. Yeah. Bengals.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We can always find some structure in QB news. Thanks for hanging out with us as we head into a Thursday morning. Voluntary OTAs are going on around the NFL, and we know they're voluntary because Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen are not participating. No, they've got golf and the match on their minds. But in Cleveland, well, they've got work to do because they got a brand new quarterback room. Deshaun Watson is in Cleveland as part of OTAs, and his coach was asked how he is handling all the distractions still with the potential for an NFL discipline being handed down anytime.
Our professionals, and when they're here, we have a job to do, and we try very hard to, you know, block out and leave outside and make sure that we're focusing on the day-to-day tasks at hand when it comes to football.
So Kevin Stefanski points to the fact that they are professionals, and when you're on the football field or in the facilities, well, this is what you do. And generally, pro athletes are pretty good at compartmentalizing and focusing on the task at hand. We know we see them do that all the time. Apparently, Coach Stefanski did not watch the HBO special, Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, that featured two of the women who have accused Deshaun Watson of inappropriate behavior, sexual misconduct as part of the massages. And he was asked why he didn't look at it and hear what these women had to say.
I've read about it. You know, I would tell you, we did a lot of work on that. And as we've talked about, we've done a lot of work on Deshaun, the person, and there's legal proceedings ongoing, there's an investigation ongoing, so I won't comment much further than that, but we understand with respect to that, it's something that we're going to be dealing with as these proceedings go on.
According to Roger Goodell, they're close to the end, or he thinks the investigators are close to the end of their work, and that very soon there could be a recommendation, a ruling that's handed down in terms of suspension. We know there will be no criminal charges, but there still are civil lawsuits that are pending. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What about the football? Deshaun hasn't played for an entire season. In fact, this time last year, he had already requested a trade from the Houston Texans, which ultimately never transpired.
I think it's a good question. I think he's doing that. I think anytime you're practicing, you're doing that. But certainly game speed and those type of things, that's something that will come in preseason games. But I definitely think it's for all these guys, they're shaking off an element of rust just from that break.
That is going to be a major question, is how quickly can he get back up to game speed and how quickly can he get acclimated again? He's still in the prime of his career, theoretically, though, and there doesn't seem to be much concern about that. Also in the AFC North, Lamar Jackson not at voluntary OTAs. Again, not a huge surprise, but the questions persist with John Harbaugh. What about a contract extension for Lamar?
We've been down this road many times, right? Through the years. So,
right.
I'll just let Lamar speak for himself on that. It's for him to talk about. You can ask him. It's not for me to speak for somebody else on that. You know, it's up to him to speak for himself on that.
So Lamar Jackson represents himself, actually, as his agent, and the two sides reportedly haven't sat down again for a recent conversation about a contract extension, and now he's not at voluntary OTAs, and John Harbaugh doesn't seem too concerned about it. Trevor Lawrence is working on getting set for his sophomore campaign, and of course, a brand new coach in Doug Peterson, new system. He's going to have to get adjusted, get acclimated. So is it getting any easier now as you step forward into year number two?
I'll say it's a lot easier learning an offense. This is your second NFL offense compared to my first one last year. It was a lot more challenging just because it's so much different from what we ran in college, our system, compared to a pro-style system. And that change was pretty drastic. So now this year I really have picked things up pretty quick because I have a whole other system to go back on that I can compare things to because, I mean, every offense runs some of the same plays, a lot of the same plays, and you just call them different things. And you might protect a little bit different, have a little bit different rules, but it's a lot easier to pick up the second time for sure.
I'm really excited to see what Trevor Lawrence does in year number two. Now, you remember he was a guy who was always throwing interceptions, but so did Peyton Manning when he was a rookie. Lots of guys did when they were rookies, and a lot of it had to do with what was happening around him in Jacksonville. So the Jaguars have made some major upgrades, and they're looking for things to change drastically in year two of Trevor Lawrence. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. No relation. We had talked last night about the fact that Kyle Shanahan still doesn't really have an answer about Jimmy Garoppolo and when he's going to get healthy and when he might be traded, though he does expect that to happen. But we know that the Niners are not trying to trade Deebo Samuel, and they really are not looking at any other outcome except Deebo eventually shows up. George Kittle on the Rich Eisen show, he actually has been in touch with the receiver.
I did talk to Deebo a couple days ago. He was hanging out with his newborn baby. Just hanging out with his family, working out. Mm-hmm. Between us, mm-hmm. No one else.
Yes.
I didn't ask him anything about his contract. You know, I just said, "Hey, Deebo, we love you here, and you know, whatever's going on, wish you the best of luck." And then we talked about other things like shoes and stuff like that because we both love sneakers.
All right, then let me ask you this: what can you tell me the narrative that he doesn't like living up there? He just wants to get out of there. He can't be there. Did you ever get a sense like that from him, George?
From Deebo, I mean, the tax rate's a little tough out here, so I totally understand that vibe. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I understand it. You know, like, if Deebo wants to play for the Niners, he'll play for the Niners. If he doesn't, I wish him the best of luck wherever he goes. Debo's a hell of a football player. He's a great human being. So, you know, it's whatever he wants to do. You know, he's not angering anybody here on the team. We're not distracted by anything that he's doing. It's his decision. We'd love to have him back. And if he doesn't want to, we'll all support him wherever he wants to go. So, and it's not really too much of an issue for us. But, No, like I said, Debo's a hell of a football player. Obviously, we'd love to have him.
You would expect that, right? If we want to have him here, he was a huge part of what they did last year when they were able to fight and scratch and claw all the way to the NFC Championship. Now, he changed positions and he took on a lot of responsibilities. There's been some talk that he really doesn't want the type of action, the type of work that he got at the running back position. But he's the one that kind of called himself a wide back. And he wants to get paid like a lot of the wide receivers that we've seen get the Brinks truck backed up to their doors this offseason. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.